Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is Stuart Venner. I tell it as I see it, and I see it as it is.
It was interesting, but it was also stupid.
This is Stuart Venner. I want to welcome you to this week's show. We've got a great lineup of guests in store for you. We're going to be speaking to Anthony Migyanka. He has developed a clean water system, something that actually turns salt water into desalinized fresh water. Very important today. We're speaking to Amanda Stedman. She's a serial entrepreneur. I can relate to that, being a serial entrepreneur myself. Brad Evans is also going to be talking about his movable kick bag. He has invented a kick bag for not just heavy-duty kickboxers, but for people for exercise. It's really great. We're also talking to Dan Schwartz. Dan started his own business, and he teaches you how to be your own boss and never get fired again. And finally, we're talking to Richard Muti. Richard has got quite an extensive resume, and he's an author of a book, Essays of My Father. Please stay tuned. I know you're going to enjoy it.
We have Anthony Migyanka online. Anthony's a very interesting guy. He's an inventor, and he has patented a device. I don't know if it's a device. We're going to find out from him how large it is and the capacity that will desalinate water, which I think that's a pretty important thing. Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's my pleasure, really. Can you tell us a little bit about your machine? Is this a portable type thing, or is this something that a large plant would use?
Well, both conditions are true. It is made portable. Can be towed by a pickup truck, or the large version that does 200 gallons a minute would be on a 53-foot flatbed trailer for a tractor trailer to haul. But the half-size version does 100 gallons a minute, which is really a, sort of the sweet spot of water treatment with regards to frack water or landfill leachate or mining water. 100 gallons a minute is really a good size, sufficient to treat one mine or one well. You can drive it with a pickup truck, and all the CDL issues of you know, hauling it with a tractor trailer aren't necessary.
Well, I know, and I do believe that desalinization of water is the future that is really needed for this country. I think that's done in Israel, if I remember right.
Yes. Well, a lot of countries do desalinate water from the ocean or from brackish aquifers. Australia recently just commissioned a two-well, cost about $2 billion, and I forget the flow rate offhand, but it's a number of million gallons per day to desalinate water for Australia. The Middle East has been doing it for years. They desalinate all their water. They have no freshwater sources in places like Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, so they make all of their water from the sea. And Israel just brought online a big desalination unit as well, becoming almost self-sufficient with desalinated water alone. We do it in the United States. Has a very big desalination facilities
in California. It's expensive, isn't it?
Elsewhere.
It's expensive. This is why I think the governments have kind of tried to steer away from it.
Well, it does use a lot of energy. You know, it does raise the cost of water to some degree. But, you know, expensive is sort of a relative term. Energy intensive is sort of a relative term. Versus praying for rain or capturing rainwater, yes.
Yeah, you have to have water. If you don't have water, you die. I mean, that's simple as that.
Right.
I seem to remember, and I don't know if this has changed, I'm going back a while, that they had a plant in Santa Barbara, California, that all they really had to do was turn the switch on.
Right. And a lot of times, that facility is like that as well as the dispatch plant, so they don't run it all the time, only when they actually need the water. And in fact, it's they've had drought conditions in Australia for a number of years, so they built this plant as a safety factor, and then it rains, and all of their reservoirs are full now, so they don't actually have to turn it on, or they don't need to run it 24/7.
I see.
But it is something that is necessary, especially with the drought conditions that have been occurring really all over the world in the past couple of years.
For about 20 years, and that's been about over 10 years, but about 20 years ago, I lived for about 20 years in Las Vegas, and I know there was always a big water shortage there. But what happened, from what I understand, is when they built Lake Mead by damming up the Colorado River, they allocated water coming from the Lake Mead, and they gave a what they thought was an ample portion to Las Vegas, never realizing how big the city would be. And a lot of that water, or most of it, is actually being sold to California. But people would say, well, what's going to happen to Las Vegas? I said, I don't think anything's going to happen. They'll just take the water they need because California's got a whole ocean.
Right. And that is typical of water usage in America, in Western countries, but also in developing countries. Once you have sort of a baseline water usage, yeah, you never end up using less than that. You know, it never goes down. Say, you know, just with population growth or business growth or whatever the usage is,
of course,
you sort of never use less than you did the year before.
Well, tell us about your equipment and how people can learn more about it, because I think it's a fascinating subject.
Well, I have worked in water treatment for a number of years, actually since college. I actually co-opted with a water treatment company when I was in college, majoring in chemical engineering, and got a job with them after college, and have been basically in water treatment my entire adult life, with the exception of a couple years I took off and did some other things, but got back into it when the fracking boom in the United States started to take off a couple years ago, and found that there were still gaps in the market, you know, still places where someone could fill a need, especially for water treatment, whether it's recycled so that the drilling companies or other industrial companies can reuse the water immediately, or simply an environmentally friendly disposal. What our water machine does predominantly is distillation. So it simply distills the water. You know, as you've heard the expression, it's as easy as boiling water, and that's what we're doing. We're just boiling water. It's called multi-stage. All flash means is that you're boiling water at less than 212 degrees Fahrenheit.
I see.
So we pull a little bit of a vacuum, but it's still boiling the water. So you're separating the water from the other stuff in the water. And in our case, the other stuff is salt.
So this this is not reverse osmosis, not at all.
It's not, right. It doesn't use membranes. Reverse osmosis is just essentially pushing water through a filter. And pushing it through, you get clean water on the other side, and the salt and all the other stuff stays on the side that you were pushing through. So ours is distillation. We're evaporating the water rather than pushing it through a filter. So we save a lot of costs and a lot of operational expense because these filters are very sensitive. Well, you can get it down to, essentially 100% distilled water. You know, so there's basically nothing in the water, but reverse osmosis uses chemicals to maintain the filters so they don't get biological growth on them, or they don't have any, you know, they have to maintain the pH so it's not too acidic or too basic. So we don't need chemicals for this. We simply need our heat to evaporate the water and then capture it in a condenser.
And you just said it. You're actually distilling water.
Right.
Very, very interesting. And you have a patent on your equipment?
Well, we are patent pending on some parts. We maintain them as trade secrets for right now because our model is to lease and operate the equipment for the customer. Most of the drilling companies or mining companies want us to come out and operate the equipment. They don't want to do it themselves.
And that's why you're in Texas, I imagine, headquartered.
Well, yes. Texas is doing a lot of drilling. One of the interesting things, you know, there are a number of companies that have water treatment solutions for heavy industry.
Mm-hmm.
Texas is interesting because the price of, in oil and gas drilling, the price of the injection well is so low that it's really difficult to be cost competitive in Texas. For instance, it may cost between 50 cents, 80 cents to $1.50 per barrel. A barrel is 42 gallons of water.
Right.
To inject water, to dispose of it in Texas, when in Pennsylvania or North Dakota or Alberta, Canada, three other major drilling areas, it's like $4 a barrel, $3.50 to $4 per barrel. So it becomes easier to assist these people because our equipment is expensive, the energy to run it we do provide. So we don't have a presence, even though we have our headquarters in Texas, we don't have a presence yet in the Texas market. We're still trying to figure out that market and be competitive there. There is a lot of opportunity. I just read a report that 9.1 billion gallons per month, that's billion with a B, is frack water, essentially salt water, that's being injected into brine injection wells and disposed of. And so that's 9 billion gallons a month is like 28,000 acre feet. So you can cover 28,000, yeah, you can cover 28,000 acres in 1 foot of water every month.
Are you doing anything in California, in Los Angeles? I know that's a huge oil field.
It is. It is. Oh, not yet. Not yet. What's interesting about California, though, is they have they use a lot less water for their fracking than other places do. They use typically in the hundreds of thousands of gallons per well,
right,
when, you know, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, Texas is in the millions of gallons per well.
Very interesting. Well, Anthony, can you tell us where your website is so people could learn more about this? Because I found this a fascinating interview.
Sure, thank you. We have waterdesalinationplants.com, three words all jammed together, is the main site that goes through all of our processes. We focus on five major water treatment industries, industrial markets, which are oil and gas drilling, mining, landfill leachate, seawater desalination, and sewage recycle. And these are the five biggest markets in water treatment, but also the most, really at the top of everyone's mind. Depending on where you're from, you're dealing with in your life right now.
Anthony, thank you very much for coming on the show, and I can't wait to get to your website and learn more about it because I find it a fascinating subject.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Folks, I've got Amanda Stedman on the line. This is the second time she's been on my show, and she's really a great person. She has written the book, the author of the book, Connect to Authentic Success, and she's got quite a great story. She hit rock bottom, and she's built herself right back up, and I'm sure a lot of people are in that same position. Thank you, Amanda.
My pleasure to be back.
It's really great to have you back. Tell us a little bit about your book and what your story again.
Well, a few years ago, I was doing very well in London with my husband. We built a very successful business consultancy, and then very suddenly, within a 90-day period, everything kind of, our clients stopped doing business, basically. So within that period, the business went, we had to leave home, we had to sell a few things, and we actually moved countries for a little while. And at one point, I just thought, you know, how are we going to come back from this? And that's when the idea for the book came. I had seven steps that I used myself to come back from that. And I thought, well, a lot of people are in the situation that I was now.
So many are today all over the world.
Exactly. So I felt very compelled to do it. But I had two pregnancies in between, so it did take me 3 years to complete, Stuart.
let me ask you, are you back where you were before?
Pretty much, yeah, but obviously with children now, you know, I'm not working 7 days a week. The children come first, so the business is molded around them now. And I recently just went to the Anguilla Literary Fest, which is not far from St. Martin. I was invited to speak there, and was very kindly put up in the penthouse there by the tourist board and also help promote the fest on social media. And I had the chance to talk to the children about, you know, following their dreams, and it was just amazing. So the things that started to happen there, really, I feel very blessed, Stuart, and I know other people can do what I did.
Well, I know something else about you, because not only have you come back, or almost all the way, but you're living in probably one of the most beautiful, glorious places in the world. You're not in London anymore. You're down in St. Martin, aren't you?
That's correct. I do get back to Europe quite frequently because London and Oxford are two places very, very important in my heart. So I do spend a lot of time there too. I'm in St Martin at the moment. This is where my husband is, so I'm kind of following him a little bit at the moment, and the children love it as well. And
I can imagine the most beautiful beaches in the world.
I have to say, the beaches are pretty phenomenal, and I need to get to a point where I'm appreciating them more. You get a little bit blasé after you've been here a while, but it's truly beautiful. So if you're coming here, do make the effort to come, because it is stunning.
Oh, it really is. Now, your book, you actually show people how to get back on their feet and what steps you've taken and what things they can do, right?
That's correct, yes. It's really very much focusing on what is it people want. We get very sidetracked into this is what my father told me to do, this is what my husband told me I should do. Times are bad, and it's very much focusing on what you do have and what you do want. Because what I found, if you spend lots of your time complaining and focusing on all the things that you don't like, then you tend to get more of it, which is kind of a downward spiral. So it encourages you to focus on what you do have and work up from there.
Amanda, what do authentically successful people know that unsuccessful people don't?
I believe they have very much a sense of who they are and what their sense of purpose is, and it's not necessarily just about making the money. It's about coming from your own true talents and abilities, using that, and getting well paid in it, ideally in advance, Stuart, for it. But
yes.
It's that feeling at the end of the day, you're happy with what you've been doing, you're happy doing what you're doing, and you're making a difference to people's lives. That's where I think the authentic success is. You're happy with you, and you're happy with how you are adding to the world.
And, so many people today are starting businesses of their own because they really can't get jobs. But if you're starting your business, what mistakes should you really avoid? What things should you avoid doing?
The biggest thing that I've learned is don't just do it for the money. Because if you're just doing it for the money, it's not sustainable. Your heart won't be in it. If you're trying to sell things to people, I know there's a lot of good network marketing companies out there, but I've tried a few myself, and if you're not coming from integrity, customers are going to feel it. So you need to do something because you want to do it and you're passionate about it. And that's a really good place to start. And the other thing is, don't try to do everything on your own. It's very cheap to outsource other things to other places now. So the biggest thing I've learned, especially with getting the book ready, is if I tried to do everything myself, I would still be getting that book ready. I outsourced a lot to a website called Elance.com. And that's also a place as well, if people don't want to start their own businesses, Stuart, they can go on to something like Elance, and if they're a secretary or they can type or they can have some kind of skill set, they can go on there and work from home, especially mums, so that's a really good place for them to have a look at.
Do you think it's a little harder for a woman starting in business or a man, or am I being a little sexist?
I don't think so. I think, if I think of most of the people I've outsourced my stuff to, it's primarily women, because they are mums or grandmums taking care of their children's children. And they, my VA, who is based in New Jersey, she is awesome. She does 3 days a week, so I know that most of my work I need to get to her by like a Monday afternoon. And she fits it around her grandchildren. So I think women have done very well, and they are basically working their businesses and their part-time jobs around the other important things in life. I think they're getting very savvy, very wise to that.
And you do believe in the importance of setting goals, don't you?
Very much so. I was asked that question in Anguilla a couple of weeks ago, and I realized that I've been doing it all my life, but particularly the last 10 years, I've studied it. I've studied it in great detail, from Napoleon Hill through to Brian Tracy, who very kindly endorsed my book, actually. And, if you apply what these people are teaching, what I'm saying, what I've done, the formula is there. You just need to get off your butt and do it.
But you do have to, you have to set realistic goals. You can't say, I'm going to have $1 million tomorrow. You have to be realistic.
Achievable
goals.
You brought up there, yes. I got our business to 6 figures. I have to say, I haven't made it to 7 figures yet, although I've built a very good property portfolio, which is in 7 figures, but I don't own it outright yet, so I can't say I'm in the
You'll make
yet.
It. You don't need a lot of clothes where you're living.
You don't, actually. doesn't go on Prada handbags either, Stuart. But no, it's something you really got to think about, and you have to, I don't like to always use the word realistic, because sometimes things have just, you know, turned up that I haven't even thought about. But, you know, I've been saying I'd love to earn £1 million, but what we worked out and what I work out with a lot of my clients is you can live fantastically well on $150,000 a year or $100,000. So if you're earning $30,000 now or $20,000 now, just think about how you can add 30% more value to your clients or your employees or your boss.
Exactly.
And see about how you can get that raise. So just, you can start with small steps and work big. There's nothing wrong with putting $1 million down, but for most human minds, it's such a big step, they struggle with it, even me sometimes. So I, you know, I like to look at the six figures first, start with six figures.
I agree. And Amanda, if you're starting a business from someone who's been working before for other people, how do you find the right career or the right kind of thing to get into?
Again, it goes back to what do you enjoy doing and what are you good at. Some people continue with what they're good at and make money from it, even though they're not necessarily happy. And I know that a lot of people out there don't have a choice with the work that they have. But if they are in a steady job and they do, you know, want to go off and do something completely different, maybe they want to work from home, they want to maybe sell information online, then I always advise people that, you know, put a little bit of money aside to start investing in that business and do it alongside your full-time job, which I know isn't easy. I did the same thing. It took me 3 years of putting money aside and doing work at night, at weekends, any time that I could to get that other business off the ground.
But do what you like. I mean, you'll otherwise, no matter what you make, you'll be miserable.
Well, you know, when I was running the, you know, just the pure business consultancy without the authorship, then I was working 7 days a week, and you had to be passionate about people and business, because
sure.
Otherwise, you know, when you're running your own business, you can sometimes initially work harder than your day job. So you have to like what you're doing, otherwise you're basically going from the frying pan into the fire. So it needs to be something that you love doing or people that you love working with.
I can't agree with you more there. Amanda, before we go, I want you to tell us how to find your website and how to get your book.
Well, I just came back from the U.S. And saw my first paperback book, which was printed in South Carolina by Amazon and CreateSpace. So now you can get a paperback copy as well as a Kindle copy, which is an Amazon.com. And you just need to type in Connect to Authentic Success or Amanda Stedman. Or if that's too much for you, then you just go to my website, which is Amanda Stedman, and there's a link for you to click on there.
Okay, everybody, if you didn't get that, it's Amanda Stedman, AmandaStedman. And her book is Connect to Authentic Success. And I really recommend that everybody read this. There's things that anyone can learn. Even if you're working for someone, it's going to be so many things that you can learn that's going to make your job even better. Amanda, thank you so much for becoming on the show.
My pleasure, Stuart. It's lovely to join you again. Give my regards to the boys in the background there.
I will. Thanks again.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. BuyYourTimeshare.com. That's BuyYourTimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Folks, I've got Brad Evans on the line. Brad is an inventor and a kickboxing expert, but what he's really made is something called the Core Bag. It's a coordination punching bag, and I've looked at a picture of it. It's a pretty neat product. It's patented, and I think he's really on the way to making a lot of money with this thing. Thanks for joining the show, Brad.
Well, thank you, Stuart, for having me on.
Tell me, your Core punching bag, is that more for kickboxers or for a regular boxer?
Well, it's going to work for either one. You know, I have a Muay Thai karate background, and so I invented this punching bag to simulate a real person. It's an unpredictable punching bag. And so there you go.
So you don't know which direction it's going to go, so you've got to be prepared to do everything.
Exactly. And then to give you more of an overlap of the whole journey, see, I started off with this as just a regular punching bag for martial arts. But then some people started hanging it in their gym and, you know, like hanging it with a treadmill. And they found out people walked further. So it became sort of a fitness product. Well, then some scientists got a hold of it, and they found out that the unpredictable motion is good for children, or it's even good for elderly people to fight against Alzheimer's. And it's the unpredictable motion is actually growing your brain. So that's sort of the journey of the product. It was a martial arts product, then it was a fitness product, and now it's a full-on brain development tool.
Yeah, I can see all these senior citizens out kicking and punching.
Right? You know, I mean, it's. I have my grandma on tape hitting the bag. It's not as exciting as some black belt hitting it or whatever, but it's still funny to watch grandma hit it, you know, and they need, you know, just because you're old doesn't mean you can't exercise. In fact, you probably need it even more.
It would make a great YouTube video.
Exactly.
Go viral. I think it's great. And you're a karate fitness person yourself, right?
That's correct. I about 4 to 6 years in karate and another 4 years doing Muay Thai boxing.
That's fantastic. What belt do you have?
I have Papa Jit, which is an armband for Muay Thai. It's the sort of the similar thing as a black belt for karate.
Is there any particular type of karate that you use, or any what technique do you use?
I studied Okinawan karate.
So Okinawan.
It's a mix of everything. So, you know, there's no traditional disciplines
anymore. It didn't
anymore.
Work too well for the Japanese when we took Okinawa.
What was that, sir?
I said, I don't think it worked too well for the Japanese. We took Okinawa.
Oh, yeah, well, karate versus bomb is not going to work. But, you know, it's still there and it's still viable.
I know there's so many different techniques. My grandson, for a while, took something called Krav Maga. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, that's the Israeli martial art.
That's just dirty fighting. I mean, it's just dirty street fighting, but it's pretty good.
It's all about winning, and Krav Maga, you know, again, not to bring it back to my product, but it's all about your mind, okay? Your mind is the ultimate weapon, and Krav Maga definitely fits into that alignment. You know, it's not about being stronger. It's about being better. It's about being more coordinated, and
Sure. But I would think whichever technique you use, and even regular boxing, which I used to box, but some of the stuff they do today scares me, frankly. I mean, it's
sure.
I used to box clean.
Yeah, you know, with the boxing, it's, I don't want to say deceptive, but there's only two targets, your head and your body. You end up getting hit in the head a lot more. The MMA, even though it looks more brutal and there is more blood, I think long-term you'll have less damage because, all the body parts are, are going to get injured, and so it's not just totally on your head.
That's probably true, but I think no matter what technique you're using, that your product would work. I mean, this core bag, it's a series of bags, isn't it, like hanging together?
Exactly. There's one section that's the head, a second section that's the body, and a third section that it represents the leg. And the real secret is that even though the two sections are the same size, they have different weights. And we went around for years adjusting the weights and the way that the wires work and the different coatings and the different materials to really try to make it move like a person. So it's not just unpredictable. It sort of moves, got a little wiggle, a little head movement, just like a real boxer.
Very interesting. Now, is this available in stores, or how can someone buy one of these?
We sell them primarily off the website, and that's corbag.com. But it's also in a couple of boxing stores.
Okay, so if everybody, you want to go to corbag.com, and I think there's a little video of you doing it, isn't there?
There's me in the video, but there's also a lot of other people. You know, sometimes... you know, people get apprehensive. They're not into martial arts, and so they don't want to try something new. But if you have a look at it, you'll see some kids hitting it. They treat it like a giant cat toy. It's just a big pinata swinging around, and there's no reason to be scared of it. Even if you have no martial arts experience, it's actually a great way to learn a little bit about martial arts, and, you know, it's the real confidence builder.
I think if I were training, and I would want your product and maybe a speed bag. Coordination.
Absolutely.
I think that would be a good mix?
Well, I also have a heavy bag, and I like to say the heavy bag you hit hard, core bag is hard to hit, so that you have sort of a yin and a yang of martial art practice.
Interesting. Have you gone to many martial arts competitions yourself?
Not recently. I have fought in a couple. I do okay, but I'm more into a self-defense aspect of things rather than a competition aspect. And for those of you that don't know, MMA competition, that's a master of known variables. You know who you're going to fight, when you're going to fight, how you're going to fight, etc. Self-defense, master of unknown variables. Could happen at any time. Lots of unknown attackers. It's lots of unknown variables. You know, so that's more of where my martial art interest lies.
Sure. You know, a few years ago, I was flying on a Southwest flight where the seats used to face each other. And sitting across from me, there were three big guys from the U.S. karate team in the Olympics. And, these guys were like 6'4" or more. And I asked them if they had much competition from the Orientals. And he says, they don't even show up anymore. He says, because when guys our size get the same skills, it's like fighting children.
Well, that is true. I mean, but it is about the skills, because let me tell you, if you're a big guy but you haven't trained and you have no skills, that's not going to work for you. But you're absolutely right. Information that used to be hidden in these, Japanese cities or back in China or whatever, it's all disseminated around the world. Some of the best martial artists are coming out of Australia or even Brazil. And
they said that. They said Venezuela, too, and Ecuador. They got some big guys and some good fighters.
Oh, sure.
Well, Brad, this was really interesting. And, again, everybody should go to the Internet and go to corbag.com, C-O-R-B-A-G, and you'll see this punching bag. And even if you're not a martial artist, it's a great exercise tool, right?
Absolutely. And it's literally the cutting edge of science. I am working with two or three universities right now. You know, I came across an article where it was unpredictable motion builds children's intelligence, and I sent them the product. I go, hey, I think this bag could work for what you're trying to do over there. And so they're really investigating it for kids. You play with this pinata-like thing, you play with my core bag, 10 minutes a day, and suddenly you're going to have more IQ or whatever, because it's growing your brain, it's growing your neurons in the same way that weights would grow your muscle. This coordination bag grows your brain.
Well, I think that's fantastic. Again, Brad, thank you very much for being on the show. And again, if you didn't get it, everybody out there, go to corbag, corbag.com. Brad, thank you so much.
Thank you, Stuart. It's been a pleasure.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for $1, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Welcome back to the show. I'm really thrilled to have Dan Schwartz on the line. Dan is a real entrepreneur. I almost said manure. That's me. I'm the entrepreneur. But Dan is going to talk to us all about working for yourself. You can't get fired if you work for yourself. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Well, I appreciate your having me on.
It is my pleasure. I'm reading about a little bit about your biography. You've got a pretty interesting life. You're from Hollywood. You've way before the Walk of Stars, and you've had some radio experience and some extra work and a little walk-on work, and you've worked for some major companies, but I think what you found happens to so many people, whatever words they want to use to call it, you end up out of the job.
They called it merged out the first time it happened to me, Stuart. It was 12 years after I dedicated myself to a company and was the first employee, and I was largely responsible for its success. It was so successful, a bigger company came along and bought it out, and the owners, made out like bandits. Employees like me found themselves, they said, not fired. Again, the term was merged out. But it was a pretty sick feeling in the pit of my stomach. It took me a long time to get settled as to what I was going to do.
I
really got
imagine.
Involved in self-employment at that time as an option so you're not caught. Today, they outsource jobs, but the feeling is the same, and the same feeling in the pit of the stomach, and we got millions of people that are in that sad situation.
There
right
sure
now.
Are, and I think even more today than ever. And I've never experienced it because nobody would hire me, so I figured from the beginning I'd have to work for myself.
I was Googling you, Stuart, before coming on, and your biography is very clear that one of your fortes as a host is your sense of humor. Problem we both got here is that this is not a very funny subject, unfortunately.
No, it isn't. No, it truly isn't. And now you've written the book, and you formed a company or a organization to try to help people. A club, is it? Tell us about this. That's a little confusing to me.
Well, I'll try to make this relatively short.
Okay.
When I found myself out of work in that merge out, I started investigating all of these income opportunities that are out there. And I wrote away, and I got hundreds of responses. In those days, we didn't have the internet. They came by mail. I had boxes and boxes filled with information about different ways people could get an income. It was staggering and amazing to me, and I made it sort of a hobby to catalog these. And then wound up with a book, The National Directory of Income Opportunities.
How interesting.
And along came, this is now a couple of decades later, the internet. And I just translated that directory into a website called NoBoss.com. And it was an acronym, National Organization of Business Income Opportunity Seekers.
Okay, if everybody didn't hear that, it's NOBA, NOBA.com, right?
No, NoBoss, NOBOSS.
Oh, I'm sorry. No Boss. NOBOSS.com. No Boss. I like that. I like that.
And we had in the internet 1.5 million people coming to look for information on how to get an income, independent of a salary. And needless to say, had a chance to talk to a number of people. We had 200,000 lists of people.
Wow.
I was contacting every week.
Incredible.
Information on how to get a no-boss, if you would. So that was kind of fun until I technically retired. Problem I've got is that I kept seeing these politicians saying their need for jobs, jobs, jobs. It's a mantra. And nobody was telling anybody how to really go about doing it. They were just complaining.
No, the only job you can get is to working for the government. You'll never get fired, and that's a job.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you're not working for Uncle Sam, you got to work for yourself, really.
I eventually felt so bad that because I think I know how to change people's perspective. People are afraid of income opportunity, business opportunity. They're thinking of starting a business like being a Donald Trump, have to deal with lawyers and accountants.
Sure.
And all these good things. And the secret... Stuart, is not to start a business, but to start a job. Just, there are things you can do 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and you're not dependent upon anybody else for that income. You're just doing it yourself.
That's true. I mean, there's a lot of people, I know several of them, that are actually making a pretty good living just selling stuff on eBay.
There you go. You can do it from home.
That's right.
And the secret is, for a lot of people, the big block in their minds is that they don't want to sell, and they think everything that's an income opportunity means they have to sell. Well, you don't have to be a salesman to have an income opportunity. There are so many things. If you just open your mind and investigate the options,
I think you just said the key is opening your eyes. I think things are presented to everybody every day, but you ignore them. So many people ignore them and don't take advantage of it.
Let me give you one example, if I may. And I'm always afraid of doing this because people think that's the only thing they can, kind of thing they can do that doesn't mean they sell.
Okay.
And there's a variety, but just as a good example, there's a company, it's decades old, they've been doing this for 20, 30 years, they've got thousands of people throughout this country and around the world that they work with, and what happens is you get a little machine. Well, if you set up that machine in a place where there are crowds, it could be an intersection, it could be outside of a ballpark, the machine kicks out mini donuts. You don't sell anything. You stand there. The machine does the work. People pass by.
I've seen those. They're really good, too. They taste good.
And they want to come over, and they demand you take their money in order to get the product that you're producing right there on the street. And there's no reselling in the bad sense involved. And there are just hundreds of different kinds of opportunities like that if people will go and look for them and search for them.
That's very true. And you just have to keep your eyes open and look for the right thing. And the opportunities are definitely there. I agree. Now, how can people learn more about you, Dan? And we can go to noboss.com. Is there any other thing that they should do?
NoBoss.com is being resurrected. We're going to reproduce the National Organization of Business Opportunities, which really I had sold it. This was like 6 years ago, and the person didn't work out, and so we're going to redo. But in the meantime, they do go to NoBoss.com, and I've got something that they can get. It's a book entitled How Anyone Can Get a Great New Job Today and Start Work Tomorrow and Never Ever Be Unemployed or Underemployed Again.
Well, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing for everybody. And so we don't have to rely on Obama giving us our cell phone and paying our mortgage and supporting us. we can work for ourselves.
There's a job for anybody and everybody if they will research it. The problem, Stuart, is that when I would go and look for information on how to do this in the bookstores and now even online, what you wind up finding is traditional job hunting techniques.
That's right.
Lots of people are going to tell you how to go and send out resumes. Unfortunately, people have sent out hundreds, and they may get two interviews today because the jobs are so scarce. And that isn't working anymore. Likewise, networking can't help you if there's no place that they can network you to if you can't get referrals for a job. So, again, opening your eyes and rethinking. Everybody knows you could always start a business.
But you have to reinvent yourself. That's really the key to it.
The trick is to start a job, not start a business. It's simple. It's not a difficult thing to do. But you have to open your eyes to go look for it.
I like that. You start a job. You don't look for a job, but you make your own job.
That's what I am promoting and urging people that are stuck. And again, if they've got that feeling in the pit of their tummy that I had when I was out of work, you don't have to be stuck there, but you just have to think again about self-employment. It's not rocket science.
No.
Something that can
no,
be
it
done.
Isn't. But you do have to take a little chance. But I think that life is taking chances. Every day you get out of bed, you're taking a chance.
You and I work up the same playbook, my friend.
Dan, thank you so much for coming on the show. And everybody, go to noboss.com. I think you're going to learn a whole lot. This is a very, very smart man. Thank you, Dan.
Stuart, thank you for having me on.
My pleasure.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Folks, we have a great guest on the line. We're speaking to Richard Muti. Richard has quite an impressive biography. He's a publisher of over 100 books, and we want to talk about his new book, Essays for My Father. But aside from that, he's a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy, the Harvard Business School, Rutgers Law. He's a former Navy pilot, and he was the former mayor of Ramsey, New Jersey. That's his hometown. Welcome to the show, Richard.
Thanks, Stuart. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's really great having you online. You've got quite an impressive background. Tell us about this newest book you wrote, Essays for My Father.
I brought it out this year in honor of my father's 100th anniversary of his birth. He was a great influence in my life. Growing up, I looked up to him a great deal. As most boys do, I guess, to their fathers.
Of course.
And I collected a bunch of my essays that I've written for newspapers and magazines and put them together in this book. Mostly they're about politics, because he was involved in politics and really gave me my love for that discipline.
How was he involved in politics?
He was a borough councilman in my hometown of Ramsey, New Jersey.
Okay.
He first ran for office in the mid-1950s when I was 12 or 13, and I helped him in his campaigns, helped pass out literature, and listened to him as he talked with friends about political issues, not just local, but state and national issues, too.
Well, that's wonderful. It would have been my father's 100th anniversary this year, birthday this year also.
Ah, very good. We have that in common.
Yeah, I think we're probably around the same age.
Yeah.
And this sounds like quite a book. In fact, I have it in front of me. I haven't read it yet, but I'm really looking forward to reading it. Well, what did your father do aside from that? Did he have a business or what?
Yeah, he was a local businessman, ran a small luncheonette with my mother, mom and pop type of thing, and His restaurant, called the Community Lunch, really became a community hangout for all sorts of businessmen who would stop in for lunch or just for a cup of coffee and a piece of pie. And he became very well known in town because of his being a local businessman. He had grown up in the town, just as I did. My family's been here for more than 100 years.
Wow.
And that's a good way to springboard into politics if you see the folks, the voters, every day and talk to them about the issues that are on their minds. They remember and they vote for you.
Well, there's certainly a lot of issues. What's your take on your governor, Chris Christie?
Well, I actually have probably 8 or 10 essays about Chris Christie in the book.
Really?
Many of them critical, but one of my favorite essays is titled Rethinking Christie. I was critical of his very brusque manner, his almost arrogant manner in dealing with people, and he still has a touch of that, and I don't particularly like that, but what I like about him is he has political courage, which is a rare commodity these days. He appointed, I think, only the second Muslim judge in New Jersey history, and when he got a bunch of grief from his fellow Republicans about that appointment, he snapped back at them in true Jersey boy style, calling them ignorant, and said, I don't give a damn what his religion is. I'm going to appoint him because he's a good man, and we'll make a good judge, and he went ahead and did it.
Well, you have to admire that. What do you think of when he was the little photo op he had before the election with Obama after Sandy?
Well,
I didn't like it myself.
I liked that.
You did?
I liked the way that he cooperated with Obama, that he praised Obama's response to the Sandy storm, which, you know, as a governor of even a governor of a blue state who's going to be up for re-election, it was wise of him to do that politically, but it was also the right thing to do on behalf of his constituents in New Jersey, because you know, you don't want to necessarily make the president an enemy by saying that he did a poor job or had a poor response to the storm when it wasn't true. Obama really did a good job.
Well, that's good. I think it took a long time to get something done, though, there.
It hasn't been done. Things haven't happened right away. Insurance companies haven't paid. It's taking. Devastation was terrible, and Christie still says Obama has been responsive and has really brought the federal government resources to bear.
Well, that's good to hear a few good things coming about Obama, because I hear a lot of bad ones in most of the interviews that I have. Now, this your book, Essays for My Father, which I can't wait to read myself. Can you tell everyone how they can get a copy of it?
Sure. Well, the easiest way is my website, which is very easy to remember. It's my name, Richard Muti, M-U-T-I, .com. And potential reader can go to that website, click on any of my books. This is my fourth book. I do have 100 writing credits, but most of those are magazine articles, newspaper articles, and things like that. But this is my fourth book, and I have information about this book and others on my website. Also, all of my books are available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and most local bookstores, if they don't have it in stock, will know how to order it for a reader.
Well, I cannot thank you enough for coming on the show. And again, if everybody didn't get it, we're speaking to Richard Muti. And if you go to richardmuti.com, spelled M-U-T-I, you can read a little more about Richard and about his books. And the latest book, Essays for My Father, looks like a real gem. I can't wait to read it. Richard, thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure, Stuart. Thank you.
Great. Have a good day.
This is Stuart Venner. I want to thank you so much for listening to our show. I hope everyone enjoyed it. Please go to our website. We have podcasts, which also include some extra material that we had to cut for time. And we have our Freak of the Weeks quite often in our podcasts. And these are definitely not suitable for broadcast radio. Please go to our website, www.stuartvenner.com. That's S-T-U-A-R-T-V-E-N-E-R.com. Thank you, and please come back next week. We've got a great lineup of guests in store. Have a great day.
I wet myself.
Aren't you ashamed?
Until we meet again. Adios. Au revoir.
That's all, folks.